Jesse, would you come up and read Psalm 29 for us?
Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, Almighty One. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, siren like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare, and in His temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood, and the Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the peace that comes from You, and we pray that You will give it to everyone that's here this morning. Lord, we live in a world with many problems and so much turmoil, so many people needing You. We pray that You will help people to turn to You. We pray that You will forgive our sins and help us to look to You for guidance and for direction. Lord, we pray as we go into our service this morning that You will give Justin the words that need to be spoken, and we pray that You will open the hearts and the minds of everyone who hears them. For Jesus' sake, amen.
All right, today we're going to be in the book of James. We're going to be in the book of James, chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 13 through 18. And we're going to be talking about wisdom. About wisdom. He's going to mention two kinds in here. One that comes from above and one that comes from below. If you've watched any part of the news, you'll see where some people are getting their wisdom. You'll see what they're following. You'll see their hearts. It's really sad when people get into that mentality. All right, James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambitions in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambitions exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." It's amazing. Never ceases to amaze me how God works. When you're in His Word, you're reading it, He just opens up your eyes to many things, and situations happen to where you can be more prepared for. Now, as we continue through the book of James, and he's moving on to wisdom, which he's building on. He's building on everything that he's argued in the first part of the book. So he starts off this with a rhetorical question. Now he's setting the scene with this opening, and he's hoping to challenge the readers. If I were to ask y'all this, who is wise and understanding among you? Would anybody raise their hands? Or anybody would want to think they'd raise their hands? Or would they do it because they know where they get their wisdom from? It's a thought-provoking question. Who is wise? And at first glance, I was looking at, am I wise? Well, I'm not sure. There's always room to grow. But that's a challenging question. How do we get there? How do we get that wisdom that we so desperately seek? And if you're not seeking wisdom, what are you doing? What are you doing? So we're always constantly seeking and wanting to learn more. And nothing wrong with that. It just depends on what you watch, what you listen to, how you obtain it is going to be the way you're going to develop your wisdom. See, he's also wanting the audience to examine one another and determine who they should follow. Who's a wise person among them to follow and to listen to as a model of wisdom? James implies that we should all seek wisdom. However, not all are wise. So he talks about two kinds of wisdom in this passage. He says that wisdom will be shown through actions, works, and deeds. There will be meekness, or better translated from the Greek, gentleness. First, wisdom will be shown by the way one lives their life. It'll be shown by their lifestyle, by their everyday habits. Ever thought about your everyday habits? You get up in the morning, you stagger to the coffee, and wonder why the kids haven't made the coffee yet. Then you're making the coffee. All those habits that we do. Be shown through all those small things. Going to work. Interacting. Talking to people. Getting dressed is a wise thing. Because I don't want to offend my neighbors. See, wisdom in that, isn't there? Everyday habits. All have some sort of wisdom in their daily living, but it might not all be godly wisdom. And everything that we do, it's not all godly wisdom. Sad to say, and some people don't even want that. Secondly, James narrows it down by informing the audience to show their wisdom and understanding by their works or good deeds. By their works or good deeds, you'll be seen. This will be specific by their activities and endeavors that they are involved with. So if you're involved with a unique situation, he's saying that wisdom will be seen through that. What kind of wisdom? If you're going through something hard and you have to take time to think about it and you have to put the legwork in, it will be seen by those around you. And thirdly, people will show wisdom when they practice meekness or gentleness. Now this meekness, gentleness, is an attitude which believers should have. It's something that we covered in the fruit of the Spirit. It's something we need to produce. We need to help produce and do our part in focusing on our relationship with Christ. You see, the unbeliever or people who are wise in their own eyes will be self-absorbed. They will be putting themselves over all, thus not being very gentle. They're going to do what they want to do because it pleases them and it makes them look good. The believer is gentle and will put others first and see their best interest at hand. Then we see James moving on. He's getting into the first kind of wisdom. Now, the first kind of wisdom he talks about has bitter jealousy and selfish ambitions. This is what their heart is content on. He says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, it's what you desire to do. These are things that people do and are natural to them. And here's the deal, some don't even know that they're doing it. They can't see past their own self. They don't know that they're hurting others and getting to where they want to be. Now, if they claim to have godly wisdom, if they claim to be a good Christian, and have this attitude, he's saying they're living a lie. You're living a lie because it's not showing, you're not showing what you believe. When we look at the word bitter, it has a basic meaning of sharp or prickly. So bitter jealousy is a jealousy that is sharp, cutting and hurting others without any concern of their feelings. They can do whatever they want to others. And they don't care, as long as they come out as number one. Then he adds on the selfish ambitions. Selfish ambition is the motivation behind bitter jealousy. It comes from, selfish ambition comes from one Greek word meaning strife or an extreme selfishness. Now that kind of speaks for itself. One is out to do what they insist on doing, no matter the outcome of others. No matter the outcome of others. As long as they're getting their agenda, and if they hurt somebody, so what? They're trying to prove a point. They don't care. A person's heart who is set on their own wisdom or worldly wisdom by selfish and having bitter jealousy should not boast in their wisdom. They have worldly wisdom, but claim to have wisdom from above. They are going to take what little they know about Scripture, about God, and elevate themselves over all. They will say that they're a Christian, but their wisdom will prove otherwise by their lifestyle, by their works, by their deeds. They will make a mess of the gospel, and they will make truth a lie. And what it is, it's saying one cannot be self-centered and follow Jesus. You can't focus on yourself only and follow Jesus. The gospel does not allow for that. I remember telling somebody how I strive to live my life. And they say, where do you place family on your life? And I said, I place family at second. He said, what, second? How do you put family? It should be first. I said, no, God's first. God's first. Without God first, how can I lead my family? How can I be the man that God has made me to be? If we put God first, he allows us to take care of everything else underneath that list. And if you're focused on yourself, how are you going to put Christ first? How are you going to put God first? Now, James has nothing good to say about worldly wisdom. It does not come from God above, but from below. It is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic kind of wisdom. He's saying there's earthly wisdom, which, of course, is worldly wisdom. This type of wisdom shuts God out of all, and man is the know-all. They are focused on things of the earth. This gives way to phrases, I do things my way. I look out for number one. Whatever makes me happy. Because it's all about me and my perception of the world as it is and the things that I see. Following that, he mentions unspiritual or natural in his list. This wisdom that lacks the Spirit. This is talking about the fallen man. The man who is corrupt, fleshy, and separate from God. He is one who does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're nonsense to him. Who's this God you're talking about? And one of the most clearest arguments on that is we have this sharp divide between the Christians and the non-believers. Well, we'll just talk about, quickly, evolution and creation, real quick. Those who say that evolution, we are came here by chance, were a mistake. They can better serve themselves. There's no purpose. They're on this earth, they're living, and they're just going to go to sleep or cease to exist. That's it. That's it. So they can elevate themselves and nothing matters. Where are the consequences? Where's the reward? There's nothing. There's nothing. And then we get on the other side of creation. I think creation, well, takes less faith than evolution or a by chance. It takes more faith to believe that you're an accident rather than even we'll broaden the whole spectrum, a deity that created something. That's easier for us to comprehend rather than we're just a mistake as a result of electricity, spark, electricity, rock, and water. That's how they claim life first started. And they've tried to replicate that, and they haven't created life yet. So I'm not sure where they're going with that. But they don't want they don't want anything to do with God. Like, nope, I am God of myself. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't need anything else. I'm going to focus on me. Because there is no God, so I'm just going to go to sleep after I die or whatever. They don't care. It's sad. It's very sad. 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And if you try to talk about spiritual things to people, to non-believers, what are they going to tell you? A lot of times they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Some would disregard God at every level. Man does what he wants for himself. They are indulged in a humanistic view. The third one is demonic. This is of the devil himself working through the fallen angels. Satan wants to corrupt the gospel and separate people from God. He is of the world and he is a liar. The really interesting thing about him is he promises wisdom. He promises wisdom to those he tempts. He wants God's word doubted and his believed. Genesis chapter 3 is probably one of the best examples of that. He took God's word, he called somebody, he called to Eve and gave her this false pretense with some truth to it. She wanted wisdom. I'll give you that. Eat this. Eat this. That is worldly wisdom. It leads to jealousy and selfish ambition. There is disorder to it, and it comes from evil or vile practices. This does not walk in God's righteousness. No good comes from that kind of worldly wisdom. Now, as we looked at that worldly wisdom, it's a good way to do a self-evaluation. Where's our wisdom from? Why are we doing the things that we're doing? Is it pleasing God? Or am I pleasing myself? Am I trying to get ahead? See, we don't want to be the guy that goes around talking about Christ and sounding good and looking good, but on the inside is dead. This is a test to see who we follow. Where do we get our wisdom? Because it'll show through our entire lives. If one is set on pushing their own agenda to elevate themselves, they lack wisdom from God. Now, if you followed anything this past week, these past couple days, you'll know in some of these cities, things are getting disorganized. Things are turning into chaos. There is, even in Fargo, North Dakota, they've got rioters and looters. Now, with this person that was killed, that's wrong. Murder is wrong. Okay, so when we see that, it doesn't matter who was murdered. I don't care what pigment they are. I could care less. Murder is wrong no matter what. So frustrating when we see that. It's wrong. And it shouldn't be made into racial issues. People are people. We're all made in the image of God. And the response to that. Is it okay to protest? Is it okay to... Should we protest certain things as a church? Yes. We have the constitutional right to protest. What's the other word that goes with protest? Peacefully. There's a time for peaceful protest. If the government says we can't have church anymore because they're the entity to everything, they're the answer to all, we would protest, right? I hope so. But peacefully. Peacefully. These guys who get their wisdom and think they need to be looting and think they need to be hurting others, where's their wisdom? Where's their wisdom? It's from below. Disorder. Vile. It comes from their own selfish ambitions. They have an agenda they want to push, whatever that may be. A good example of worldly wisdom. They're out for themselves. It's a sad situation. It actually angers me. And I was up for quite a bit last night. I couldn't get it out of my head. Even coming so close, to Fargo's close enough for me. And it could come. For the believer, though, there's a different kind of wisdom. And the believer is supposed to be different. We as believers, if you have Christ, are not to be of the world. We're here. We're living in it. We're just passing through. We're just passing through. And that's the next kind of wisdom James is talking about. The wisdom that comes from God. He says it comes from above where God is. James already told us about it in James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, it will be given to him. Ask for wisdom from above. You ever done that? You ever say, hey, God, I need your wisdom? And is he giving it to you? He gives. You just have to recognize it. It might not be that second. Might not even be that day. But he will give you that wisdom that comes from him. This wisdom is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. So many descriptive words. Wonderful descriptive words. This word pure comes from the Greek hagios, meaning holy. It has the idea that of one being unstained. This is prompting harmony and countering hypocrisy. See, James lists that word by itself. He lists it by itself because of its uniqueness and how it leads to the other traits of godly wisdom. He says, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. These other ones are a must for unity. They're a must. The Greek word for peace is closely related to the Jewish concept of shalom. When Jews say shalom, it is said as an idea of completeness, soundness, welfare, and peace, or even success. It is said at greetings and salutations to show that not only is there peace between the two parties, but that both parties want the best for one another. Yet the idea that a person can have shalom is because of God's grace. We have the idea that when one says shalom, they're saying, I hope God blesses you and makes you complete, sound, in good health, harmony with your neighbor, harmony for your country, and continual blessing. They look at the person, I want the best for you. Because it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And Jesus told us to love one another, right? We need to love one another. The believer wants peace. And this peace is going to show through the way they conduct their lives, through their attitude. And he says gentleness. One who is gentle will not be forceful or pushy. They will not be arrogant and make others submit to their own ways. They're not going to come up to you and say, you do it my way. No. I've had supervisors like that. You do it my way or it's the wrong way. Oh, okay. You're the supervisor. No, but one is gentle. It requires one to be stern when need to be. One who is gentle will not be walked on, but have a spine and stand up for sound doctrine and good teaching and good wisdom. But they will be gentle with the way they conduct themselves, not forceful. One must be open to reason, hearing others out and listening. The wise believer is teachable, able to learn, able to withstand correction. Who likes being corrected? Oh, good, nobody. Me neither. Nobody likes to be corrected. But it's good for us. It's good for us. Those who are wise, you could teach. You say, hey, let me help you out with this. Here's a different way of doing it. And then they'll listen. They still might not do it, but it's that listening, able to understand where they're coming from. One would also be compliant. This is also a military word referring to one taking orders and submitting to discipline if need to be. It would also be full of mercy and good fruits. In relationship to the Beatitudes in Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. One who is full of mercy gives evidence to their salvation. Mercy means to have compassion on others and be forgiving. One could do something to deserve punishment, but one could also withhold that punishment to show mercy. Now, it's a choice that one would make by measuring all the outcomes. It's interesting when you get into those situations. Then James adds good fruits. Good fruits. Those good fruits are, again, specified in Galatians 5:22-24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. For those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those will be seen in your life if you're a believer. The Spirit working through you will display those. Then James finishes this, those who have wisdom from above will be impartial and sincere. We covered impartiality already. We've covered favoritism earlier in the book in chapter 2. Those who are impartial will not show favoritism. They will not show favoritism. And one will be sincere. Or better translated again as to unhypocritical. You will see, what you see is what you get. If you see somebody with godly wisdom, you're going to see them as that. I'm not telling you they're going to be perfect. They are human. They are going to make mistakes. But it's how they handle those mistakes. When one has these qualities, they'll be doing the Lord's work. with the right heart. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Godly wisdom produces a continuing cycle of righteousness, which is planted and harvested in a peaceful relationship between God and His chosen people, and between those people and themselves. That's the wisdom we need. That's the wisdom we need. Wisdom that comes from above. Wisdom to where we look to God to make the right choices. Where is the start of wisdom? Where does it come from? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is respecting Him, obeying Him, submitting to His discipline, and worshiping Him. Those who fear the Lord have an awareness about them, that their lovingly Father is watching them. Every day, do you guys think, oh, there's somebody watching me? There is. He's always watching. And evaluating every little thing you say and do. He knows it. He knows what you're going to do. He knows what you've done. He knows that weird thought that you've had. He knows that thing that you said. He saw you trip up the stairs when you went to go make your coffee. He saw all that. He sees everything. Should it make us think just a little bit? Oh, I'm not really by myself, am I? I've got somebody watching me. We live with a sense of God's nearness, and we make wiser decisions. Kind of like a child who's gotten to be in a pain. They're more motivated or better behaved with the overseer of somebody else. If the parents are around, they're going to behave a little bit more. We also develop wisdom from our mistakes. Who in here has made a mistake? Oh, good deal. It kind of reminded me of my elementary music teacher. Wonderful man. Name is Chuck Sawyer. At least a few times a month, he'd always say, my first mistake. When he does something wrong, oh, my first mistake. First mistake. Over small things. He was a good teacher. He liked to teach, and he made learning fun. So little things like that you remember about people. My first mistake. We've all made mistakes. We've all made mistakes. But the difference between the wise and the unwise is that the wise people learn from that. They learn from that. And they don't repeat it. They don't repeat it. I remember a mistake that we made as working in the lumber yard. It was attached to the same building. And it was, you know, Montana winters are pretty mild. It was probably 20 below that day. And the store owner, she came in and says, you guys got to keep that door shut. You're letting those cold air inhale. My bill is just going to be huge. Okay, we'll keep an eye on it. Well, somebody didn't. Somebody didn't. And the owner came back out. She goes, guys, you got to shut this door. Then she pulled somebody off to the side. Said, hey, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to write a check for this heating bill of $3,000. He goes, what? She goes, here's my checkbook. Write out a check for it. After that door never stayed open. He learned from it. And it wasn't even his own money. It was hers. And he learned from that. That's a lesson learned. It was a mistake that he made. However, those who have worldly wisdom rush back into that same mistake over and over and over again, and they're wondering, why are these same results happening? Why is it every time I touch a hot stove do I burn my hand? Over and over and over again. See, I've even learned from my mistakes. Never, ever hold a pitcher and pour boiling water into it with a pot. That hurts. I've only done that once. Stuff like that hurts. You learn. But those who have worldly wisdom keep doing the same, keep burning their hand. Proverbs 26:11 says that a dog returned to its vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. However, to get wisdom, we evaluate our folly from God's perspective and set personal boundaries so we don't repeat it. Those wanting to get wisdom from God are going to have to reject worldly wisdom from other sources. Now, we all have our presuppositions when we come into any situation. We've all been taught certain things, and we come in with those ideas already. We're taught them at young ages. We're taught worldly wisdom at young ages. Those with worldly thinking will always advise against true godly wisdom. Always. Saving sex for marriage. Avoid drunkenness. And giving sacrificially to God's work appear as foolishness to the worldly wise. They appear as foolishness. Those who wish to get wisdom from God must be prepared to be misunderstood by the rest of the world. With our thinking doesn't match up with worldly thinking. It counteracts it, right? Most subjects are going to counteract it. When we have worldly wisdom, we won't be liked by the world. They will reject us and look at us like we're crazy, which is fine. We're only here for a certain amount of time. There are two kinds of wisdom. Worldly wisdom, which leads people astray. Then there's wisdom from a God, from above, which is from God. God gives life. For those of you wondering what kind of wisdom you want, you're seeking, should be no contest. We need godly wisdom because He is the Creator. He knows all. He will guide us through. We need Him. He knows what we need, and He gives as we see fit. As we continue to serve Him, we need to look for Him. Keep remembering that He's there. We're not by ourselves. He's overseeing us. He is the one that gives wisdom. All we have to do is ask. He'll give it to you. Then we've got to do our part. Does He just give it to you, just hook a wire up to you and just download it all to your brain? No, there's your part too. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You and we thank You so much that You are over all, that You do see all, that You are with us. Even in uncertain times, we come before You and acknowledge that You are God, that You are Creator, that You are the one we need to be seeking, not ourselves. And with us seeking You, You will help us to have those better relationships. You will help us to be a light to the lost, a light to the world. This world is so dark, so dingy. We need light. Lord, we are called to be that light. Help us to be a witness for You. Help us to point others to You. Help them see Your Son through our lives, through the wisdom that we ask of You. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
James chapter 1, verse 5, and Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Amen.